Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, October the 12th, Columbus Day 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. We have lots of news and information of interest to veterans and their families this evening, so stay tuned. First, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard. How are you doing?
Hey, David. I'm doing well. Hello to everybody out there. Hope everybody's doing well. This is, just want to remind everybody, that this is a call-in show, and we welcome your views, your comments, your questions, so call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. And David, back to you.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening. We have multiple segments in our show tonight. Among the topics we're going to discuss and have information for will include the VA pension benefit, which is a financial compensation program that we're going to provide a lot of information. It's a very detailed program, and we want to help spread information about that. In our later segments, we're going to have information also from the VA, courtesy of the VA, about your VA health care options. Giving information about when a veteran may be eligible for VA health care. A common misconception is that simply being a veteran entitles you to VA health care. That's not the case. The rules, like many other things in the VA world, are rather complicated. But we have information from the VA about your health care options. And then related to that will be more information from the VA Health Administration about not just the eligibility, but actually the enrollment process. I think you'll find that that interesting as well. I'll give you some pointers in case you're not in the system and you think that you may want to at least apply for it. And then in another segment we have will be an interview, a taped interview, courtesy of the VA, with Cheryl Mason, who is the chairwoman of the Board of Veterans Appeals in Washington, D.C., and she's going to be discussing the current appeals process and how the BVA has been essentially implementing that and what veterans can expect to see. And then after that, both Richard Hurley and I have news from across the VA on various issues, on benefit issues, regional office openings in select locations, information technology developments with the VA, and many more topics. So, in beginning the first segment, we're going to talk about the VA pension program.
We are ready.
Thanks. And that deals with a very important financial benefit. The rules are complicated, but it is very important. It is also called non-service-connected VA pension. Now, the term VA pension is not to be confused with the military pension, which is typically earned by someone who serves in the military for 20 years. Okay, when you're talking about VA pension, we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about a needs-based, in other words, by needs-based, we mean for those basically with limited income and limited net worth, as defined, financial net worth, as defined by these complicated regulations. So we're going to begin with a six-and-a-half-minute tape courtesy of the VA, providing an overview of the VA pension benefits and the so-called enhanced pension benefits for things like housebound and aid and attendance rates. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the first tape.
Hi, I'm Melody Mercer, and if you're a wartime veteran or know someone who is, I've got news for you. There are pension benefits available through the Department of Veterans Affairs that you may not be aware of. It's important that every qualified veteran receive the money that is due. So, who qualifies? VA's pension program provides monthly benefit payments to certain wartime veterans with financial need and their survivors. To be eligible for pension, a veteran must meet service, income and net worth, and disability requirements. A veteran meets service requirements for pension if he or she was discharged from service under other than dishonorable conditions and served 90 days or more of active military, naval, or air service with at least one day during a period of war. Additional minimum service requirements exist for veterans who served after September 1980. Veterans meet income and net worth requirements for pension if their countable income is below the maximum annual pension rate and meets the net worth limitations. Veterans meet disability requirements for pensions if they are age 65 or older, or have a permanent and total non-service-connected disability, or if they are a patient in a nursing home or are receiving Social Security disability benefits. Surviving spouses and certain dependents of qualifying wartime veterans are also eligible for pension, provided they meet the income and net worth requirements. Wow, quite a mouthful, huh? But it's important, and the information is online, and you can call our toll-free number, which is 877-294-6380. So if you do qualify for VA's basic pension, here's another important pension fact that you should know. You may be qualified for payment of pension at an enhanced rate. Now, enhanced pension provides, in addition to the basic monthly pension rate, an increased monthly pension amount. There are two types of enhanced pension that you should know about. One is called aid in attendance, and the other is housebound. Now remember, pension is a needs-based benefit, and you have to meet certain income and net worth limitations. So let's take a look at these two categories of VA pension. Aid in attendance, or ANA, is an increased monthly amount paid for those who need the help of another person to perform the regular activities of daily living, are bedridden, or are a patient in a nursing home. A severe visual impairment can also qualify for pension at the aid and attendance rate. Housebound is an increased monthly amount paid to a veteran or surviving spouse who is substantially confined to his or her home because of a permanent disability. Pension at the ANA and the housebound rates are available for every qualified veteran or surviving spouse to take advantage of. It's straightforward, based on income and also need. Your medical expenses are taken into consideration, which can reduce the income requirements so that you may qualify. You may not receive the enhanced benefits like ANA or housebound without first establishing eligibility for VA pension. However, because the enhanced pension rates are based upon a higher income level, a person who is ineligible for basic pension due to excessive income may become eligible for pension based on requiring an ANA or being housebound. You may not receive both ANA and housebound rates at the same time. Now, you may have heard from people offering to help you qualify for ANA, or more accurately, pension at the ANA rate. Some of these individuals could include the so-called pension poachers, who offer veterans nothing more than the opportunity to lose some money. This growing industry of pension poachers has been in the news lately, usually targeting elderly veterans and their spouses in particular, who are being taken advantage of. Attorneys or financial planners cannot charge a fee for preparing a claim. There are several ways that you can get help filing a claim for VA benefits, but that person needs to be VA accredited. VA recognized veteran service organizations, including their VA accredited representatives, are not permitted to receive fees for their services in connection with the VA claim in any instance. A VA accredited attorney or claims agent who is also a financial planner may assist a claimant with a claim for VA pension to include enhanced pension. However, financial planners may not use their VA accreditation for the purpose of promoting or selling financial products. It's important for you to understand all the facts about this subject. So to get more information, please go to www.vba.va.gov. Click on VA Pension Benefits. It's important to remember that it's your benefit. You've already earned it by your service. And if you qualify, you have the right to apply, which you can do online or by calling 877-294-6380 to get more information on how to apply. VA staffers will help you through the process. Again, if you qualify for a regular veteran's pension and need the aid and attendance of another person or are housebound, please look into enhanced pension. Do not pay anyone to prepare a pension claim for you. And please do contact VA to learn more about what you are entitled to. Our purpose at the VA is to help veterans and their families. If you're a friend or a neighbor of a veteran or a surviving spouse who you think might benefit from watching this video, please reach out to them and let them know. Thank you for watching, and thank you for your service.
Well, thanks to the VA for that very informative 6.5-minute tape on VA pension benefits and VA enhanced pension benefits. It's also available in a video format that will be posted on our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. It should be posted later this week. But again, this benefit, the VA pension benefit specifically, is a very important one, and the enhanced aspect of it involves either aid and attendance or housebound. There are both income limitations and net worth limitations. It's very, very complicated because you have to fill out a number of forms, but actually have to follow some rather complicated rules in determining what assets count towards this calculation of your net worth, as well as the rules about what expenses, like certain out-of-pocket medical expenses, that can reduce your countable income in order to legitimately qualify. But it is an important benefit. Again, you can check out the details at va.gov. Now, let's go over to Rick Hurley for our next segment.
Yeah, great information there, David. Our next segment deals with another important topic for veterans, which is the eligibility for and benefits provided by the VA Health Administration. Our next tape, courtesy of the VA, provides an excellent overview. Doug, please roll tape number 2, your VA healthcare options.
VA is America's largest integrated healthcare system. We are committed to providing veterans with timely, high-quality health care. VA offers a variety of health care services for eligible veterans, from primary to urgent care to telehealth and nursing home care. When you choose VA, we promise to make care available to you when and where you need it. You may be eligible for VA health care if you served in the active military, naval, or air service and did not receive a dishonorable discharge. You can apply for VA healthcare by visiting VA's eligibility webpage or by applying at your local VA medical facility. Veterans can also apply by phone by calling 877-222-8387. You can find your nearest VA medical facility by using the VA's facility locator webpage. If you are enrolled in VA healthcare, you may be eligible to receive care from a non-VA provider in your local community. This is known as community care. You may be eligible for community care in one or more of the following situations. You need a service not available at a VA medical facility. You live in a U.S. state or territory without a full-service VA medical facility. You qualify under the grandfather provision related to distance eligibility for the Veterans Choice Program. VA cannot provide you with care within certain designated access standards. It is in your best medical interest, or a VA service line does not meet certain quality standards. To receive community care paid for by VA, you must generally be eligible and officially authorized by VA in advance. To find out if you are eligible, talk to your healthcare team. You can learn more about community care by visiting VA's Community Care webpage. If you need treatment for a minor injury or illness that is not life-threatening, such as a sprain, cough, sore throat, or earache, you can access VA urgent care and same-day services at your local VA medical facility. You may also be eligible to visit an in-network urgent care provider in your local community. To be eligible for community urgent care, you must be enrolled in VA healthcare and have received care through VA from either a VA or VA community provider within the past 24 months. To find out if you're eligible for community urgent care, contact your local VA medical facility. If you're eligible, you do not need to get prior authorization from VA to receive community urgent care. If you get community urgent care, make sure the provider is in-network. To find an in-network provider, use VA's provider locator or contact your local VA medical facility. To learn more about community urgent care benefits, visit VA's Community Care website. If you live too far away to easily visit your VA healthcare provider, you may still be able to get the care you need remotely with VA telehealth. With VA telehealth, you can meet with your healthcare team and more from the comfort of your home or mobile device safely and securely. To learn about telehealth options in your area, contact your medical provider or your local VA medical facility. If you are eligible for VA healthcare benefits, you may be charged a copayment for care or medication provided or paid for by the VA. You may be charged a copayment when your care is not related to a service-connected illness or injury, your income is greater than a certain amount, or your income information is not available. However, you may not have to pay a copayment in some situations, such as treatment you receive for a service-connected condition, or if you are catastrophically disabled. For more information about copayments, visit VA's healthcare information webpage, call 877-222-8387, or contact your local VA medical facility. When you use VA healthcare for a condition that is not service-connected, VA may bill your health insurance for medical services, supplies, and prescriptions. In that case, we will ask you for your health insurance information so we can bill your insurance correctly. Money that VA receives from your health insurance goes directly back to the VA medical facility to pay for treatment, medications, supplies, and equipment for veterans. To learn more about veteran health insurance, visit VA's healthcare information webpage, call 866-400-1238, or contact the Facility Revenue Office at your local VA medical facility. If you have a concern about the care you're receiving at VA, we're ready to help. The best way is to contact the patient advocate at your local VA medical facility who can help you with almost any problem. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one, please call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or text 838-255, or use support for deaf or hard of hearing by calling 1-800-799-4889. Help is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. You can also visit the Veterans Crisis Line website to chat online and find more resources. At VA, it's an honor and a privilege to serve you. Thank you for your service and thank you for choosing VA. For more information about VA healthcare, visit VA's website or contact your local VA medical facility.
Well, thanks to the VA for that informative tape and a link to the videotape of that will be available on our website within a few days. Now, related to that topic, in case you're wondering more specifically how to find out if you're eligible and specifically how to go about enrolling, what are the easiest ways to enroll in VA healthcare, we have another tape courtesy of the VA Health Administration on those issues. It's about 4 minutes in length. Doug, if you'll please roll tape number 4. I'm sorry, tape number 3. Tape number 3.
Tape number 3. If this is your first time enrolling for VA health care, there are several ways you may apply. Online at www.va.gov, by calling 1-877-222-VETS, by mailing in the VA form 10-10EZ to our Health Eligibility Center located at 2957 Claremont Road, Suite 200, Atlanta, Georgia, 30329, or by simply visiting an eligibility enrollment office located at a VA medical facility. For information on eligibility criteria for the VA healthcare, please visit www.va.gov healthcare eligibility. Once enrolled and eligible for healthcare, you can apply for a Veterans Health Identification Card, VHIC. To apply for a VHIC, you must visit one of our eligibility and enrollment offices for a photo, and the card will be shipped to your address in about 1 to 2 weeks. What does the VA medical benefits entitle or include? Your comprehensive VA health benefits package includes all the necessary inpatient hospital care, outpatient services to promote, preserve, or restore your health. VA medical facilities provide a wide range of services, including transitional hospital-based services such as surgery, critical care, mental health, orthopedics, pharmacy, radiology, physical therapy. In addition, most of our medical facilities offer additional medical and surgical specialties services, including audio and speech pathology, dermatology, dental, geriatrics, neurology, oncology, podiatry, prosthetics, urology, vision, and long-term care. Some medical services or medical centers also offer an advanced service such as organ transplants and plastic surgery. Should I keep my current insurance? Though the VA is a benefit, not an insurance, VA encourages veterans to retain any current health care coverage they may already have. Veterans with private insurance may choose to use those resources of health care coverage as a supplement to their VA coverage. It is important to remember that the VA health care depends primarily on congressional appropriations. If you were exposed to hazardous chemicals and materials, you may qualify for a free environmental registry examination. The VA Environmental Health Registration Evaluation is free. Voluntary medical assessment for veterans concerned about exposure to environmental hazards during their military service. Registrations include Agent Orange, Airborne Hazard and Open Burn Pit, Gulf War, ionizing radiation. The registry evaluation is separate from the veteran's VA disability compensation process and does not confirm exposure to environmental hazards during military service.
Well, thanks to the VA for that additional information. Let's move on to our next segment tonight, the Board of Veterans Appeals, the BVA, and the Appeals Modernization Act. Rick, I know you've had many board virtual hearings lately. What would you like to share with us about that? And then after that, if you please introduce our next tape.
Sure. You know, David, the more that I'm doing these hearings, and I think I have one tomorrow, I have one next week, and I've had, I think, 4 or 5 in the last 3 weeks. I'm definitely learning. I'm learning about these judges. I've had one repeat judge, so I'm getting all new judges. And every judge has their own style, so to speak. You had mentioned in previous shows that some of the hearings you had done, you were limited to a 30-minute for the appeal. I've seen that. I've seen them, you know, tell me, but but it was a suggestion. It wasn't like telling me you're on the clock for 30 minutes. And if I went over, it was fine. And in some cases, we went over by an hour and a half. The one thing I think that I'm learning here to all you veterans, you really need to assume that your case is probably going to end up at the Board of Veteran Appeals. The VA is so quick to do one of two things, just deny your case and get rid of it and let you appeal it and see if you're going to appeal it, or they'll give you a minimal rating and let you see if you're going to appeal that. And the reason I bring this to your attention is because when you're going to talk to a representative, you've got to talk to them within the back of your mind that this case is going to have to be appealed to the Board of Veteran Appeals. So you're going to want to ask that representative who you are interviewing. Remember, you're hiring the representative. The representative isn't hiring you. You want to ask them, how many cases have you had before the Board of Veteran Appeals? And you know, ask them, you know, how successful have you been? How do you feel about it? You know, are you doing virtual hearings? Find out exactly, you know, one, if they do a lot of Board of Veteran Appeals. And if they do, you know, ask them about their cases. Because I really think as this is unfolding in front of my eyes in real time, that the more experience you have dealing with the board, the better prepared you're going to be for your hearing. So, you know, that's one big important thing. The other thing this came out my last hearing last week, is under the new AMA system, you have 90 days to provide any additional evidence from the date of the hearing. You have 90 days. You can also submit all prior evidence that you may have had in the file, and if you submitted it previously to the hearing, you want to get that in. I know David and I, we file legal briefs, and we always attach all of these prior statements, prior medical evidence to our briefs, so the VA gets it when they get our brief, which is shortly after the hearing. You cannot, if you submit something on the 91st day, it will not be considered. So when the judge says you've got 90 days, he's going to hold you to it. So that 91st day, if you submit something at the last minute, you run down to your lawyer and say, look, I got this from my back. You know, my doctor just sent, and if it's one day late, sorry, it's not going to get before the BVA on that appeal. So those are a couple of things that I think veterans you should know about. But you really want to think that when you get ready to file a claim, you really need to start thinking, more likely than not, I'm going to have to appeal this to the Board of Veteran Appeals. And I'm sure after this segment, David, you and I can talk more about this. In this next tape, Cheryl Mason, Chairman, Board of Veteran Appeals, joins Ashley Barry of the VA to take a deeper look at the modernized appeals process, discuss some early positive signs from the implementation of the Appeals Modernization Act, and to announce that veterans can expect to see the telehealth technology leveraged for the appeals process in 2020. Doug, please roll tape number 4, VA News Special Edition, Board of Veteran Appeals.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ashley Barry, your host of this special edition of VA News. More choice for veterans has been a priority of VA in recent years, and these efforts come in many forms. One example is the Appeals Modernization Act, where veterans now have greater choice in how VA reviews a disagreement with a VA claims decision. Joining us today to take a deeper look at the modernized appeals process is the chairman of the Board of Veterans Appeals, Cheryl Mason. Chairman Mason, welcome to this special edition of VA News. We're so happy to have you on today.
Thank you for having me today.
Cheryl, if you could tell us, why should a veteran opt into the new appeals system?
Really, it's what you said. It's about choice. The appeals modernization system was designed to give veterans primarily three things: choice, control, and clarity. of their claims and appeals process. So that choice means they have options. They're no longer stuck in a situation and just spend years in that situation. They can now choose where they want to be. They can choose whether to put their claim in one lane or move to an appeal at the Board of Veterans Appeals.
And I know that, you know, recently we have spoken and you've talked about certain veterans that have really benefited from this. Are you able to share maybe a personal story about what you've witnessed?
Well, I think probably the most personal story I can share, and this is not just really one veteran, I've heard from several, that they're really amazed that this new process really can be done so quickly. Primarily at Veterans Benefits Administration, because they're very much quicker than the board is. It's less than 4.5 months for them to get a decision, an initial decision. If they have a concern with that decision, they can then choose one of the two lanes. They get a quicker decision from there. If they don't like that, they can still come to the board. And what veterans are telling us, even the pace at the board is quicker. But in addition to all that, the board has also been able to pick up the pace with our legacy cases mm-hmm. because of our increased staff, which has really been a blessing to all of our veterans to help them get their decisions quicker.
I mean, you must be so proud being in the VA for nearly, 26 years now?
Almost, yes.
You've really seen some advancements, and you've been instrumental in making them happen.
I have seen quite a few advancements over the period of time I've been at VA, but I really would say in the past 2 to 3 years, we've seen significant transformation. And part of that is the leadership team. The leadership team is definitely behind the transformation of what we're building for veterans and our commitment to making it better for veterans, from access to business transformation to just making it easier for them to talk to us and let us know what's going on through surveys. All of those areas are things we want veterans to be able to do.
Absolutely. And I think it would be really helpful if you could let us know how a veteran sort of knows which lane to choose.
First and foremost, we always advise veterans to work with their representative, because the veterans representatives understand the process really well. And while we have made it easier, it's still a little confusing to our veterans because it's different. So veterans representatives can really advise them about what they need to do. There are, again, three lanes: the higher level review lane, the supplemental claim lane. Those are both at the agency of original jurisdiction, which would be either VBA, VHA, or NCA, so cemetery benefits or health. And in that situation, the veteran has the option to go into one of those lanes after the initial decision, and it's going to be quicker, and they're going to get a resolution, which could be positive. Mm-hmm. And so if they do that, they're not waiting longer to come to the board. They can still, their third option is always to come to the board, and that's actually new, because before you had to go through several gates to get to the board. Now the veteran can choose, if they don't want to go through the other two options, to come directly to the board. At the board, we have three options as well. One of those is what we refer to as the direct lane, which we are doing those cases in an average of 365 days.
Okay, terrific. You know, the VA and the board implemented massive changes over the past year that have positively impacted veterans, and I know that you have a really exciting announcement that you would like to share with everyone that will really, truly impact these veterans in a positive way.
Yes, we are very, very excited about the virtual hearing program that the board is currently testing, and we expect to roll that out in 2020. And what that will enable veterans to do, much like you see the telehealth appointment process right now, where veterans can use their phones, their computers, their iPads to talk to a doctor, you'll be able to do the same thing with a judge, and that's actually happening right now. From your home, you'll be able to go into the VA network. Your representative will meet you on the network, so it's all on the VA network. You'll be able to have a hearing with your judge, so you won't have to travel for 6 hours across a state to come to a hearing. Or if you're not in a situation where it's healthy for you to travel, you don't have to do that. You can do that from home. We're very excited about it. To date, We've held about 155 of these hearings successfully. Everything is looking good so far. We're very excited because we have the Strategic Partnership Initiative. So we're looking forward to what other opportunities this will open doors for our veterans to have access to those hearings, which will get decisions out the door to veterans quicker.
Absolutely. And you're talking about the partnership initiatives. What sort of do you envision moving forward and working with partners?
Well, a couple of the areas we use phones, for example. Mm-hmm. We have parts of the United States that sometimes it's a challenge to even get connectivity. So that's an area that we're hoping to explore with our partners on how we can support our veterans to get connectivity for that hearing mm-hmm. so that we can hold that hearing so they don't have to travel 4 or 5 hours for a hearing, especially in not so nice weather in some of our states in the winter.
Absolutely. And I find it, you know, really helpful, I think, when you think about the veteran in their home, being able to talk to the judge. This can be very stressful. Mm-hmm. The drive can be very stressful. So you have to imagine that there is a significant improvement in the mental wellness being offered to veterans without even really trying. It's more of convenience, but that, too, is really rewarding, I would think.
It is, and that's very important to me personally. Mm-hmm. I'm very engaged in the mental wellness and suicide prevention process that we're working in the department with Prevents, and I want to do everything we can do to support our veterans in that process. And if that means making the hearing process a little more comfortable for them, right, that's what we want to do, because it is scary for some of our veterans to hold a hearing with a judge mm-hmm. who they've never seen before. They don't know what to expect. And so we do want to continue VA's mission to be helpful and be paternal in our veterans and make sure we're taking care of them, because that's our mission, is to take care of our veterans.
Absolutely. And as the chairman of the board, I think my last question is, for those that don't quite understand how this works or those that are a little skeptical, wait a minute, what would your advice be, or how would you encourage them to try it?
I would advise them to, as I often say, roll the dice. Step in and see what works. Mm-hmm. Technology can be scary. Yeah. We understand that. If you're really not comfortable, ask your representative for assistance. They can help you. And in the process we've changed with appeals modernization, I would really advise our veterans to go to the higher level review and the supplemental claim first. Again, it's quicker. It's going to be, it's going to have the resolution capability before having to wait at the board. It will take longer at the board. So those are the two things I would tell our veterans to step out there, because we are making a difference and we do want to help them where they sit, because that's what access is about.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all you're doing, Chairman Mason. We certainly appreciate your time today. And that is it for this special edition of VA News. I'm Ashley Berry. Thank you for your service, and thank you for watching.
David, let me comment on a couple of things as
sure.
I was listening to that. First of all, that was obviously prior to start of 2020.
Well, that was January. It came out in January of this year.
Yep. Yeah, but it was before the pandemic.
Sure.
And that's important to note, because veterans, if you're looking for your hearings, right now the BVA is looking to schedule cases that were postponed March, April, and May, and possibly June, for your BVA hearing. So what you should do is, if your case was postponed and you have a lawyer, call your lawyer up, and if the lawyer isn't aware of it, tell your lawyer to reach out for the BVA and tell them that your case was postponed as a result of the pandemic, and the BVA coordinator will put that on the calendar. They're looking for cases in November and December, so they'll put that on there. Another comment I wanted to throw out there is the audio tape talked about making the veteran comfortable. Well, you know, these hearings, you know, this isn't like getting into a deposition. You're not in a trial situation. There, it's an informal process. Yes, you're under oath. When you testify, you're under oath, and your representative should be providing evidence on your behalf. So in that sense, it's a very formal procedure. But in terms of the give and take between you, your lawyer, and the judge, it is an informal process. And it's been my experience is that the judges have gone out of their way to make that known to you from the get-go, the moment you sit down in front of the screen. The last one I just had, the judge was unable to use his laptop or his computer because of a technical glitch. So he had his cell phone there. So his cell phone was sitting on his couch, pointing up at him while he was looking, you know, directly at his laptop so that he could access your file and type in whatever he needed to type in during the proceedings. I had one, and David and I laughed about this. I had one where the judge, all these judges are doing these virtual hearings from their homes. So this judge was sitting there, and I'm looking over his left shoulder. I'm looking into his bedroom, and his bed wasn't made. I got to tell you, David, I sat there the entire time during the hearing. Talk about being distracted. I said, make that bed. So you know, the reason I bring all this up is that it shows you how there is that informal atmosphere to the process. But make no bones about it. You're under oath when you testify, and your lawyer has to produce evidence in support of your claim. And in that sense, it's a very, very serious and formal procedure. Over to you, David.
Yeah, that's great, and thanks for sharing your insight, Rick. One thing that also appeals to me about the current process, the Modernization Act choices, is that when you appeal to the board, and that's one of three choices, you can, if you have a decision you don't like, an initial decision from a regional office, you have three choices: supplemental claim lane, higher level review, or the appeal to the board lane. But within the board lane, you have three choices, and the hearing lane is only one of those. So you can still appeal to the board with what Chairman Mason described as the direct review lane. And their time standard, they're trying to decide those on an average of 1 year, basically, from the time you filed. There's limiting factors to that direct review lane. You don't get a hearing of any type, and you can't submit new evidence, but you can submit legal arguments. So if you believe that there is error based on the existing evidence, a direct review lane may be perfectly fine and certainly faster than the other BVA lanes. And in my personal opinion, from my experience, you're going to get a more thorough, higher quality decision out of the Board of Veterans Appeals than you'll get from the overwhelming majority of the higher-level reviewers, that other lane, because some people wonder. I had a client ask me this past week, well, what's the difference between a higher-level review and the BVA? And I said, well, first of all, it's the quality and the thoroughness of the decision you're going to get from the BVA compared to the higher-level reviewers. And then with the higher-level review, furthermore, you don't have all the choices. In the BVA lane, you have three choices: the direct review, which I just mentioned. You have the evidence submission lane, where you can submit evidence, but you have only 90 days from the date you file the notice of disagreement form, the appeal form. You only have a 90-day window to submit new evidence. You don't get a hearing with that. And then the third BVA lane is what you've been talking about, Rick, the hearing lane. But with the higher level review lane, you don't get a hearing at all. You get the most you're going to get is either you or your representative, but not both. You get an optional one-time informal telephone conference. And by informal, I mean there's not going to be a transcript of it. The higher-level reviewer may enter some notes about the conversation, but you do not get an opportunity to testify and present new evidence of any fashion. And they're looking at the evidence captured in time, stopping up to the moment of the initial decision you're appealing. So it's very different from the old pre-Modernization Act, you know, that Rick, you and I had done a lot of the decision review officer, where you had a hearing and it was in the regional office. This is vastly different, and it's eliminated a number of the veterans' choices. But in any event, I hope our listeners found this helpful. The BVA, as Chairman Mason, I think very rightfully so, was bragging about how the BVA has been improving in time standards, and I would add the quality of their decisions in recent years. And as you said,
no, David,
Rick, certainly every judge has their own style, and you and I have both dealt with various judges over the years. Some are far more helpful than others, and helpful by meaning pointing out things that will favor the veteran, asking questions that seem to be exploring how they can help the veteran as opposed to how can they look for ways to deny it. So I think it's a lot of positive developments there. Back over to you, Rick.
David, on that note about the judges, you know, I had one judge, and we got into just a nice conversation about the whole process. And one of the things that she asked me was, you know, are you going to get a supplemental DBQ? I forget what the disability was. It wasn't a mental, it was a physical. And I said to her, I said, well, we're going to try, Judge, but, you know, as you know, it's very difficult to get these doctors to step up to the plate and sign on the dotted line a medical opinion that favors the veteran for their claims. And she said, yeah, I know that. And she said, you know something? She said, I think the doctors get it wrong. You know, they don't have to be 100% perfect. She goes, all I'm looking for is an opinion that says, is as likely as not or more likely than not. Well, David, you and I both know, is as likely as not is the lowest standard of any legal standard. It's 50-50. Tie goes to the runner. And since then, I've been telling my veterans, you know, when they're going to a doctor, I tell them exactly what that judge said to me. I said, look, tell the doctor he doesn't have to be perfect. He's not writing a book about your back. He just needs
to be. Well, what I've done typically has been when I'm sending.
Is not.
What I typically do is provide my clients with a letter to take to their doctors, usually about a 2-page letter, which summarizes these things. So it has the language they need to use. It doesn't tell them what to say, but it has that and explains the as likely as not is basically 50% certainty or greater. If they can say with at least 50% certainty that a veteran's particular injury was due to an event or injury in their service, that's the necessary, quote, nexus that the VA and that judge was looking for. So, yeah, that's really important. It is a very generous standard. You don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt or to any other thing. But I think even with that standard, a lot of private doctors just don't want to get involved. They just want to be involved in what they do, which is to treat people.
Right.
They don't want to get involved in all the paperwork because some of these DBQs are, you know, 10 to 12 pages in length, and it's like filling out a tax form. You know, you have to take it line by line, and there's sometimes follow-up questions. It requires time to do it properly. I've seen a lot of DBQs done by doctors that obviously were rushed, and as a result, the veterans are disappointed because they say, well, how come the VA didn't consider it? Well, because your doctor did, you know, the most we get out of the doctor was something that was rather incomplete. It had a lot of gaps to it, and it carried really less weight than the VA's own compensation and pen exam. So attention to detail, there's a lot of hurdles you have to clear, at least on the more difficult cases, which are typically the ones that we see. Well, we've got about 6 minutes left, Rick, so I know we had a lot of news, but why don't you pick out the news you want to cover, and then we'll have time for our coaching to care.
Sure. Let's see. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced on Wednesday, October the 7th, 2020, the reestablishment of the in-person benefit services in certain select locations throughout the country. Currently, there are 11 regional offices open to the public, and more are expected to reopen in the coming weeks. The reopening phases will vary by regional office and local condition. During the last few months, VA regional offices continue performing our essential mission virtually to provide benefits to veterans and eligible family members, said Secretary Robert Wilkie. We have robust safety measures in place that will allow us to resume in-person services while protecting the health and safety of veterans, their families, and our team members who serve them. ROs will continue adherence to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines, which includes the use of social distancing, face coverings, hand sanitizing, and asking sick individuals to stay home. Veterans can continue to interact with Veterans Benefits Administration, the VBA, virtually for accessing benefits information online or when filing a claim online. For claim-specific questions, call 1-800-827-1000 to check the availability of a regional office near you. Visit va.gov. And on this, veterans, if you receive a telephone call from QTC or LHI, and they want to do a virtual, and you'd rather do an in-person, tell them you want to do an in-person. They have to give you the opportunity for an in-person rather than a virtual. So don't let them tell you, well, we're only doing virtuals, because they're not. That's not true. So back to
you're referring to the C&P exam, the compensation and pension.
Correct.
Medical exams, yeah. So
correct. Back to you.
Well, according to the VA's, since we're both in Florida and a lot of veterans live in Florida, I noted over the weekend that the St. Petersburg Regional Office, their website is still indicating that the facility is closed. It did not indicate when they're planning on opening. I'm hoping that they're planning on opening soon, but they do indicate that their staff is still available by phone and their online customer service websites, which you can access through va.gov. So this whole COVID-19 pandemic, I think the VA has done a fairly good job at trying to cope with it, and these virtual hearings that you've described, Rick, is one good example of that, but we'll see how things continue to unfold. So, all right, why don't we go to our coaching into care?
Sure. As usual, before we close the show, we would like to provide our weekly reminder to veterans and their families about important VA program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call at 1-888-823-7458. The hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, that's Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind our listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal, or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. I hope our listeners enjoyed the issues we talked about tonight, which included the VA pension benefits program, the VA enhanced pension benefits program, eligibility for VA health care, and how to enroll, as well as a discussion of the Board of Veterans Appeals and the appeals modernization option. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Veterans News Hour here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans and VA disability cases. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, and we hope you'll tune in next week, same time and station, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on BBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.